episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape does everything John Deere, parts, sales, service. Go up and see them. If you're looking for a new tractor, they're getting more and more in stock every day. And they can fix you up with pretty much anything you want. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call at 530-226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
And the free advertisement of the week goes to... drumroll.
Mattress Firm.
Yeah. Mattress Firm. They're in the former building of, what do you call it, Blockbuster Video. They're right on the corner of Churn Creek and Dana Drive. You've probably driven by them 1,000 times. Yeah, well, we have this guest bedroom, and Thanksgiving is coming, which means we have guests. And, you know, inviting them to the house to sleep on the floor is awesome, but not really a selling feature. So we thought we would go shop for beds, which seemed like a big drag. But let's see, within, I don't know, how long were we in there?
Which time?
5 minutes.
Yeah.
And Crystal already showed us, like, we're like, yep, that's the bed. That's the bed. So if you are thinking about changing your, you know, where your sleeping situation, or you need a new one, especially for company, you should do it right now because they're having this swing and sale. Let's see, the king size bed was the same size as the queen. And or the same, not the same size.
No.
I'm fired.
Yeah.
Not the same size. Same price. That's what you care about. Same price. So the king was the same price as the queen. So get the king, of course. And then it had a free base, which seems like, well, who cares about that? Oh, but it's adjustable. Yeah. So our company gets to like have an adjustable base so they can sit up in bed. You know, it's got the little control thing and all that.
Now you got a selling feature.
Now you have a selling feature. Not only do we have a king bed, but yeah, it's adjustable and insanely comfortable. And we got it for the same price as a queen, and the base was free. Don't tell our relatives that part. So let's see. It's kind of dark in here, but phone number is 530-222-3501. And, They had a bunch of people in there. There was no shortage of assistants. And actually, while I was doing the math at the end, Bill got to sit in a like a massager chair.
Oh, yeah.
It was the kind where you stick your legs in the little...
Oh, yeah. Put your feet and your legs in it, and the thing wraps around you, and all of a sudden it's squeezing you and rubbing on you, and oh, my God.
I didn't know there was all that going on.
Oh, there was a lot going on over there.
Oh, sorry. So quiet back there. So they have a couple of those. They're pretty nice. But, yeah, you should check out Mattress Firm. And the lady we worked with was Crystal. She was amazing and got us a great deal. So, yep, I'm going to let my relatives fight over that because one bed is a queen with no adjustable and the other one is king with the adjustable. So I think I'll ask them if they want to sleep in the Wizard of Oz room or the Disney room, and they can just take their lumps accordingly. So today we are, I know, we're returning to our favorite subject. Seems to be our favorite subject lately, well, except for China. We like China too. All right, we like them all. But today we're talking about the effects of THC with our kind of our good friend. We've had him on like 3 times, so I guess we're palsy wowsy now. Dr. Stuart Reese. He is in Australia and he has gotten up very early to chat with us. He does a great job on this topic because he is loaded with information. He always sends me great stuff to post, and it is all online for you at wethepeopleradio.us. So he is a family physician working in Brisbane, where he runs a large clinic with special interest in the medical treatment of drug addiction. He's interested in both the underlying pathopsychology of drug addiction, how drugs work in the body, and why they're so destructive to long-term health, and also the treatment of drug addiction, including its radical cure. So he has a longstanding interest in cannabinoids, particularly as they relate to genotoxicity, epigenotoxicity, and chromosomal and mitochondrial toxicity. You guys jump in anytime. I'm in the $10 word area, And my glasses are not working all that well.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm, like, kind of squinting, and I'm so far I think I got them. But the mitochondrial toxicity has downstream effects lasting for multiple generations. And in all seriousness, if you don't know any of this, you really, really should, because we have people using all sorts of products that derive from the cannabis plant. And I think after you listen to Dr. Reese, you will understand why that's not necessarily a good plan. And we have three other shows posted. We did one in August, one in April, and one December of last year. So that is all loaded for you on the website under the pot tab or under today, which is today is the 13th of November, 2022, just in case we replay the show. So we have Bill, we have me,
yeah,
and we have Officer. What?
Officer Joe.
We have Officer Joe. Did you go Biden on yourself there for just a second?
I didn't recognize you with the sunglasses and the mask.
So we have Officer Joe with us. I sent him an email late last night, and I was like, hey, talking about pot tomorrow. You might want to come on over. So I'm hoping we have Dr. Reese in there on WhatsApp. No?
Yeah.
Oh, Liam's shaking his head.
You know what's important? What you said about genotoxicity is, you know, that marijuana use may cause other cancers, Aaron, and there are studies showing that cannabinoids are an important cause of community-wide genotoxicity. There's that word, impacting birth defects and cancer epidemiology. The state of California, a lot of people don't know this, has declared marijuana smoke through reputable research as carcinogenic, and it relates or causes developmental malformations. It's called tetragenic, I think that's the word, and causes other potential harms to the users and those exposed to marijuana smoke. So that's secondhand smoke. So those people smoking that doobie around you, they're hurting you too.
Yeah, but let's legalize it, because it can't be that bad. I mean, what's a little cancer?
Yeah, right. Yeah, just a little cancer.
How about head and neck cancer, lung cancer, bladder cancer, brain cancer, testicular cancer, and childhood cancers? And people know that I don't like marijuana, but they shouldn't believe me. They should go out and look at the research, the actual NIH research, and why marijuana cannot pass FDA approval. And the misnomer is that people want it, the marijuana industry wants to see it medical, quote unquote, medical marijuana legalized. There's no way, because then it will be subject to government regulation.
Of course. The one thing that they don't really want. But what about the legal businesses to say that they do want that?
Well, I would actually support legal businesses, and I've always been in favor of seeing, you know, actually state-controlled grow houses. I would be in favor for that, and seeing a pack of marijuana cigarettes behind a locked cabinet in your 7-Eleven. But, and then there's a huge but only after we see we want to have roadside marijuana preliminary screening devices that worked and are already legally codified into law, so that we can start taking all these high drivers off the road. And you will remember from prior shows, I've given statistics here in Shasta County that our DUIs self-report. This isn't what we are. These aren't our statistics. These are what they report, that almost half of them now report that they are using marijuana along with alcohol, thereby being more stoned. And those people are among us. So when I hear people say, well, it's just they're growing a couple of plants in their backyard, and just so you know, we don't care about that at all. That's fine. You want to grow a couple of plants in the backyard? It's the public behavior that they engage in that we are worried about. It is the straw sales of cannabis going to our youth in our high schools. It is our youth that are addicted. If somebody's over 25 and they want to kill themselves smoking marijuana, have a good time. I don't care about that. I wish them a quick trip to wherever they're going to go. But I don't want their behavior to affect our behavior. What do you think, Bill?
Well, it's like yesterday we were coming out of the grocery store, and we unloaded our groceries, and I went to put the cart back in the little cart rack thing, because I always do that. I think it's lazy if you don't. And I walked by a man and a wife and a little kid. They were loading their groceries in, and the smell of pot coming out of that car off of him mainly, and he was driving, will just about knock you over. So, again, you want to talk about behaviors. How about getting high, go to the grocery store, and then driving your car with a little kid in there? I couldn't believe it. But that's what we're up against. I mean, there's no, I don't know. I see very little enforcement on that end. And then on top of that, I think one of the reasons they're having a hard time with making it commercial is they can't control the potency. And there's no way, like I read an article last week where a group was suing one of the commercial pot companies because they touted they had the strongest, highest THC levels of any commercial grown marijuana, and they tested it, and it was one of the lowest. So this is what people are looking for. They're looking for the biggest bang for their buck. It's not medical. It's about getting high, and we have to be able to control that, keep it away from the kids, and keep it away from drivers. Because I don't know, it just made me sick to walk by that car and look at that guy all stoned out driving around with his little child in the car. It was terrible.
And right behind alcohol in California, the most commonly detected drug now for drivers under the influence on the road is THC, marijuana. So it's right up there with alcohol.
Well, and how many times have you driven by a car on the road, they don't have their headlights on, and the first thing that comes to my mind is...
Pothead.
You know, I mean, we passed, what, two yesterday? At dark.
It's kinda odd.
And it wasn't like it was twilight. It was flipping dark outside, and they had no lights. So I don't know. What causes people to do that? Not paying attention, maybe. And what makes them not pay attention?
Well,
hey, dude, I don't need lights.
And driving without headlights is one of the 10 indicators that we as policemen look for.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's one of the top 10 things that people do wrong at night is don't turn their lights on.
So really?
It's like, oh, yeah. So if you see a car without lights at night, well, that's pretty much going
to
be...
You might be talking to the police.
Drunk driver. Yeah, right. That or a telephone pole.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's and then it's tough because they always say don't flash your lights at them if they don't have their lights on, but how can you not?
Yeah.
Is that still a bad thing?
When you flash your lights at them?
At them, yeah. They said that it was making, you know, it like made them shoot at you or whatever. I think that's obviously in a much larger place than where we live, but they said that sometimes the gangster guys would drive around without their lights on, and then people who flash their lights at them, they'd go after them.
Well, it is a secret that in the ghetto at night in our police cars, we actually had extra buttons in our cars to turn off our lights so we could sneak through the alleys at night perfectly dark.
Uh-huh.
But then you'd hear the whine of the alternator through the siren box. So you'd hear this like going down the alleys, and then you'd hear all the whistles. Hey, 50, 50, 50. It never worked anyway.
It's like a deer whistle.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
At night, we don't use turn signals in the ghetto, right?
We don't
broadcast which way we're going.
That's funny.
That is funny.
You know, I just received a video from Dr. Ken Finn out of Colorado, and it was he's a pain specialist, and he treats a lot of cannabis disorders. And he sent me a patient of his that was in having cannabis hyperemesis syndrome, which is repeated vomiting from high-potency THC addiction. And it was the emergency room video with of course, the man's face blacked out. And because of HIPAA, we don't get to see the rest of him. But watching this man retch for an hour and then only being treated with other psychotropic medications and being put in hot showers, which is the only known palliative. There's no cure, but the only known palliative.
Now, is that a withdrawal symptom, or is that just a symptom of use?
That's a symptom of use of just, you know, the body's, I believe that the body's trying to reject a poison.
Right.
And it's telling, you know, the body always wants to be in stasis, right? We always want to be in level. And so when you take it so far out, the body is rejecting what's going on to it. And it's literally, you know, giving you firsthand.
It's like we're just going to keep throwing up until you quit doing that.
That's pretty much.
You know, what I find interesting, too, is, you know, back in the day when, you know, kids were smoking the hippie weed, it, you know, it was 2% or 3%. You didn't have all these problems.
No.
And you never heard of of all these psychological problems, vomiting and all this. But now that they've cultivated this stuff to where it's such high potency, now we're starting to see a lot of medical responses to high potency THC. So obviously there's a problem brewing. It's probably not going to get any better.
No, and we're just normalizing it. I guess that's my big complaint, is that we're just normalizing it for our youth, and we're telling them that, oh, it's, you know, don't use prescription drugs because you can use marijuana for everything because mm-hmm. it's medication. And I don't know. Joe, do you think it's I don't know. Like, I get from people all the time, well, alcohol's a lot worse.
Well, I was just reading this study, and when we give out information on the marijuana side, unlike the marijuana proponents who give out feel-good statements, we have to give out factual information. So most of our information comes from peer medical-reviewed studies, legitimate sources, NIH, things like that. And I was just reading a study that marijuana use is tied to concurrent and lasting changes in adolescent cognitive functions. And the study tracked high school students for 4 years. And of concern to me, and a finding in the study, was that marijuana use was associated with lasting effects on a measure of inhibitory control, which is a risk factor for other addictive behaviors. And this probably explains why early onset marijuana use is a risk factor for other addictions. And that was the conclusion of the study. So we're basically setting our youth up. So when I hear candidates, you know, for example, Shasta County candidates say, oh, it's okay for marijuana dispensaries to advertise. Well, they don't see the other side that we see all the time, which is the actual harm to, or the direct and immediate harm to our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole high potency thing is I'm hoping will be the downfall of this whole industry, because it's just gotten so far out of hand that something's gonna have to break. It just seems like it's just getting more and more and more potent, and it's not medicine, it's a drug, and people aren't taking it. Well, some people might be, but I would say the majority of people are taking it just for the buzz, not for any kind of health.
Well, they think that it's helping on health, but I know that when we looked into a lot of the VA studies on pain, it actually caused increases. It may have decreased it slightly at the beginning, but then that effect wore off, and the pain factor increased significantly. So they actually kind of got a boomerang effect, which I don't think is what they were promised. We've got to take a quick break. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried, just eat it, just eat it.
Gives me the munchies.
That's kind of where I was going. Besides the fact we watched that Weird Al special yesterday. I guess he played the accordion as a kid and everything. I didn't know that much about him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well.
So, heartache I have. Now we're approaching a quarter of the females in California, 15 to 24, who are getting pregnant, are using high-potency THC.
A quarter?
A quarter. 25% of females, 15 to 24. That was the last. It's somewhere between 22 to 25%. And that's reported by different health agencies.
Wow.
So what does that do? So, you know, when I look at prenatal marijuana effects, so what do we get? We get developmental, neurological disorders, learning deficits in children. That definitely happens. How about premature births, miscarriages? That definitely happens. Let's see what else I can remember. An increased likelihood of a person using marijuana as a young adult. So we're loading that brain constantly with endorphins, and that is going to predispose the person later in life for
addictions.
Right.
Sure.
The AMA said that marijuana use may be linked to low birth weight and premature birth. We have birth defects and childhood cancer. I remember that. And we have reproductive toxicity affecting a father's sperm. So all you guys out there that are using marijuana think that you're the Latin lover. Actually, you're shooting blanks more often than not. And then we have data that implicates cannabinoids, including CBD, in a diverse spectrum of heritable congenital anomalies. Now, what is that? That's genital defects, and that's exactly what Dr. Reese would talk about today if we get him on. Dr. Reese, we're making that long call to Australia. There's no shrimp on the Barbie here, but let's get you on the radio, sir.
I know, whatever happened.
It's a long way under the ocean to Australia, but the message has been sent.
Thrown up the flare.
So there's also been a study out that recently that cannabis dispensaries, now this is a Colorado study, found that employees, now these are employees, are now recommending cannabis for pregnancy-associated morning sickness over 69% of the time, and usually did not recommend speaking to a physician first.
And who's recommending this?
Basically the bud tenders. Anne Hassel.
Back
in the days of Anne Hassel, remember when she told us that anything under 90% is no longer marketable to the community anymore? They just, all the other stuff is, I don't know what they do with it, bulldoze it? I don't know.
Nobody wants it.
But remember also, we had talked about this, Aaron, and this is important, and I know that when you talk about genotoxicity, that Dr. Reese will talk about that, and what's going into our animal feed, because all of this hemp, and in some cases leftover marijuana, because they have nothing else to do with it, especially we see this in Oregon, and I invite anyone to, if we even think California is bad, take a look at Southern Oregon. It's like Siskiyou County.
Yeah.
And it's horrible up there. I'm doing, and I'm taking a break from just doing the harms of cannabis on humans, and I'm actually working on a project now. We're doing a documentary called The Pot Dogs, From Misery to Hope. And we're going to focus on the horrible things that are occurring in the grows to animals, specifically dogs. And I had the privilege last week of speaking to Shasta County Sheriff's Department ARO officer. And some of the things she said was revealing. And we also are talking to a rescue up in Siskiyou. Called That Place Called Home, and that gal rescues specifically pot dogs. And during the off-season, it's about 5 dogs a month, but during the season, it can be up to 100 dogs a month, and they're doing horrible things to these animals, wiring them to posts with barbed wire, cutting their genitals off, wiring their muzzles shut, and Aaron, as you know, because...
Yeah, but they don't just cut their genitals off.
Yeah.
That's the part that pisses me off. They wrap them with wire and then stake them out.
Well, and
they wind up struggling against that, pulling them off.
And you know, I've sent you the pictures of the dogs that have been unfortunately cooked, and so that's very disturbing. So there's going to be a documentary of that, and I feel like that we will bring in a wider audience, not just people like me that don't like marijuana, but people that are involved in animals' rights and animal abuse, and they'll look at that and they'll say, this is not okay, and it's not, folks. It's not okay.
No. There's a lot of things go on in those illegal grows that in and of themselves are illegal. You couldn't do it anywhere else. Why are they allowed to do it there? You know, there's just no enforcement. And, I mean, from the animal abuse to chemical use, chemical storage –
Illegal weapons, Bill. Every single grow has illegal weapons. All of them have, you know, they'll all be an assault rifle, but an illegal assault rifle, you know, converted to fully automatic, those kind of things. Were you aware of the what's occurring in Tehama County with their law enforcement? Effective the 20th, there will be no day shift law enforcement in Tehama County. Zero. No deputies on the street. They do not have the funding. And so for about 12 hours of the day. Now, what that really means is maybe the state, the California Highway Patrol, might take over some law enforcement duties. But if you're going to go rip off a marijuana grow, or if you're going to go rob a bank, what a perfect place to do that. And people say, well, that's Tehama County. It's going to have a spillover to Shasta County.
Sure will.
And what we do. And I've heard a lot of, you know, feel good statements from politicians this cycle saying, let's lock them up and throw away the key. Folks, there's no people to be able to do that. So
there's no room for that.
There's no room for that. No. There's no people. And I understand completely. If you're conscious, you understand why our sheriff closed a wing of this jail, because there's nobody to staff it. And I heard a lot of politicians this particular season make statements that tell me that they have absolutely zero consciousness or legal acumen of anything to do with custody in our county. And some of those people have and are elected, and they will get the county sued because very few politicians understand penology. So if we want to put marijuana people in jail, and we're still very fortunate, we still have a marijuana eradication team here. But I'm telling you, it is very bleak right now. And if you're a criminal in the United States today, it's quite possible that you're going to be able to commit your crimes without anything happening to you.
See, so, that's the scary part, and that's what people don't – I mean, we have just such a – I don't know. We just have so many things just all coming together at the exact same time. You know, we've changed our laws to make a lot of things – not crimes anymore.
Marijuana is a misdemeanor. Seven plants to 7 million
theft,
plants.
Misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor. Yeah. And a sight out. You don't go to jail for that. You get a traffic ticket. You never get booked for that because there's no room. So you literally just get like a here. Come, please
notice
please,
to appear.
Please come when you're ready.
Yeah,
right?
If you want.
Do you get fined even? Do misdemeanors get fined?
Yeah, they do. They do. You know, up to $1,000 probably, but. That's not going to happen. You're not going to see
paying it.
The judges aren't going to do that. I just don't see them do it. And what we're fighting right now is the picture, other than marijuana, is much larger than just this one drug. In California, we have state representatives like Weiner out of San Francisco. I hope I pronounced his name right. Weiner.
Yeah. Okay. Widely believed to be Nancy Pelosi's replacement. Going forward.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's pushed a bill through the legislature to they want to make us just like Oregon, where all drugs are legal and you no longer get arrested for them. You get a $100 ticket to go to drug court. And by the way, if you don't show up, nothing happens to you. So that means everything. Heroin, LSD.
Fentanyl,
peyote. Yeah, all of it. And what does that do to regular citizens, to us? Well, it's going to hurt our tax base. As you know, Bill, you're a business. You've been a businessman in this community your whole life, how hard it is to hire people. Now, under Newsom's new law that's coming at us, and this is important, you can no longer ask or use for hiring purposes someone's marijuana background. So now you can be the oil truck company. They still have to have commercial licenses, so they can still be drug tested. But say you have a service company and you have somebody driving your service vehicle, one of your trucks, you know, and you can't ask them about their marijuana use anymore. Are we kidding?
You can drug test them though. I mean, if they're driving company vehicles, you can have random drug testing and drug test them.
And that is changing. And
really?
that is going to change because they are saying that it's their right to be able to use marijuana and that the testing is imperfect. So that is changing. We're going to see that come down.
Well, that's funny. I'm in the process right now of hiring for a service tech, and I had a guy, pretty much had the job, called him up, said, hey, go down and give me your DMV printout, bring it in, and we'll get you a drug screen thing and send you down. And will you have a problem passing a drug test? Oh, no, not at all. I said, all right, well, come on in Monday, and we'll get that going, and we'll get you on payroll. Okay, I'll see you Monday. Yeah. Well, I'm now interviewing somebody else because he never showed up and never called. And well, there's a reason for that. He couldn't pass a drug test. And now, whether it was marijuana or something else, bottom line is, when I mentioned drug test, he went away. And so that's a problem. And I've talked to lots of business people about this. People cannot pass drug tests in this state.
Well, that's why, there's a huge demand for people in law enforcement at all levels. And drug testing is a huge problem for them.
Well, CHP, wasn't it CHP that had like 1,100 openings or something?
Yeah, I forget the numbers, but they were crazy.
Crazy numbers.
They had to go through like 100,000 people to find like 1,500 or it was a mind-blowing number.
And what does that mean realistically? That's diminution of standards. Now, it used to be
– Yes.
Used to be –
Well, it's like school, remember? You used to be – it used to be based on merit, but now because you can't get enough minority applicants through, according to their calculations, which I don't even know are true, they've lowered the standard for all sorts of things, SAT scores, all those things. You don't need any of that anymore.
That's right. Nobody fails anymore.
Yeah. That used to be a huge deal. You know, people hired tutors to plan for the SATs. Now it's not that big a deal. But it's tough when you can't get through the drug screening for people in law enforcement.
Yeah.
It used to be originally when I was hired, you could have no hard drug use whatsoever in your history. And when I was hired, you could have no marijuana use whatsoever within 3 years of your hiring date. And then a couple years later, they relaxed the marijuana and made it 1 year. And I don't even know what it is today. I think if there's no recent marijuana use and you test clean, they're probably going to look at you.
How would they know? Well, I mean, they would ask you.
Yeah, they could ask you. Well, you're going to take a polygraph or voice stress analyzers, and those work about maybe 95% of the time.
Oh.
Unless you're psychotic, and that's how people that's how people get through, because the crazies can pass those tests. So that's
really?
That's always a concern.
That's
sure.
Frightening.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. I think I worked with a couple of them in my life. And speaking about, you know, about crazies. So the risk.
Yes. Yes, do tell.
Well, you know, one thing that I've been very interested in doing a lot of research on lately is the risk of violence in marijuana. And are we going to go to break here soon
no.
or something? Okay. Keep
no.
talking. Good.
Yes, we are, but we're not.
Okay. So I know that marijuana use, from all the studies that I'm reading, is linked to aggressive behavior, domestic violence. It can cause or exacerbate psychoses and produce paranoias, all of which can lead to violence and homicide. And it's also been linked to mass shootings. And you only need to look over the last 3 years, and you can catalog all the mass shootings, and you can find that all of those people have marijuana use, all the way from Jeffrey Dahmer to the Uvalde shooter to, the Dylan, whatever his name was, in Georgia that killed all the people in church. All of them had marijuana use.
Well, we never had all these shootings before. And it's only been, I think, since they've cultivated this THC level people are going nuts.
But we also went really hard on, you know, the bullying and all that. And so everybody gets to do whatever they want if somebody was mean to them. And that's not a good message either. That's really a terrible – back when we were – you know, back when we were kids, if somebody was mean to you, well, you either went and took care of it or got over it or something. But you didn't get to go home and get your dad's, you know, firearm and go back to school. I mean,
that wasn't even an option.
That just wasn't even a consideration. And back then, those guns were available.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have all these – they weren't locked up. You would think the incidence of that would have been much higher.
It would have been much higher.
And the bullying was really severe back then, because Bill knows all about that.
Really?
Oh, we better take a break now.
Oh, yeah. Leave that one hanging out there.
Putting those foxtails
there.
Up that kid's pant legs, hey, and running him around the school playground.
He enjoyed it.
Spoken like a true bully.
That's
good job.
Right.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, I don't either. I didn't think
no,
making,
Bill has no no memory of that.
Stuff up now.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I've been stopped. I've been gone.
Told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined when out of his sight to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs, ands, or buts. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange when you know that you're a wizard at three? I knew that this was meant to be.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
Here.
What? Again?
I was just channeling everybody who's smoking pot and thinks they're brilliant.
So, did you know that, because I like...
We got to go right back to crime? What?
Well, I was going to go with statistics.
Okay, go ahead.
I try to talk about what you talk about, not what I want to talk about. So, we're going to talk about addiction, because that's what you know, Johnny
I'm bringing
Mitchell's.
The fun today, just so everybody knows out there. It's my job. It's a high bar.
There's no pun intended. So studies are now saying that 3 in 10 people who use marijuana have cannabis use disorder. They actually had to come out with a new term in the DSM, in the psychology manual, and it's called cannabis use disorder, or CUD. And it says that about people who use marijuana have about a 10% chance of becoming addicted. So that I guess that's not so high, unless you're one of those 10%. But here's where we talk about the youth use, is those people who start using marijuana during their youth or adolescence definitely use marijuana more frequently. Hey, I like that sound.
I just sent him a message.
So to those people in your audience, I always like to give people tools to do self-analysis. If you're using more marijuana now than you used before, you might be addicted. If you're trying but failing to quit marijuana,
you might be addicted.
Thank you. You can do that for me. If you are spending a lot of time using marijuana, i.e. the stoner crowd or the 18% of our high school students.
How much time is time? Like when you say if you're spending a lot of time, like what are we talking about?
How about stoned all day?
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Going to school stoned.
Or just getting stoned every day.
Then you are addicted.
At some point.
You know, for the audience, because you can't see, but I brought in Aaron and Bill a picture of a new device that we see out there in the field, and that is a cannabis inhaler. And it looks just like your standard inhaler
that
you use.
Yeah, it does. Looks like a Primatene Mist.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's in it is almost pure THC, 99% THC. It's got a binder. They use alcohol as a binder, and it's got a propellant. Now, since none of this is legal, who even knows what propellant they're using? They could be using, you know, butane or isopropylene. I don't know what they're using. Or they could be using compressed air. But you have this inhaler. Think about this going to school with a student. You just rub off a couple of the letters that say CBD. How easy is that going to go through a detector or
sure.
a school resource officer or a school administrator? Which one of them is going to question, especially a medical condition with a kid? It's just take their inhaler away.
Yeah, no, they're not going to do that.
Sued into submission.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to some more things that show you're addicted. Are you using marijuana even though it's causing you problems at home, in school, or at work?
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a problem. Are you giving – oh, this is a big one. Are you giving up important activities with friends? In other words, are you becoming introverted in your marijuana use? And that's definitely – if you're staying home by yourself, sitting in the corner at night, thinking, I gotta have that marijuana.
I'd rather do that than go with my friends or do something productive.
Yep. If you find yourself using marijuana while doing a high-risk activity, such as driving, and driving under the influence is a high-risk activity by default.
Mostly for everybody else.
Do you find yourself needing more marijuana to get the same high? And people say, well, I can never be addicted to marijuana. Marijuana is not addicting. BS. You see people that are smoking one joint after the other.
Yeah, maybe it used to be not addicting, but now with this potency problem, it is addicting.
And the biggest sign of that is when people try to stop, do they experience withdrawal? And you talk to people who are long-term users of cannabis, and a lot of them will report, man, this is really difficult for me to stop. One of the fastest growing industries in California was the to counter the addiction for profit industry, and that's what we call it. It's the addiction for profit industry, is drug rehab, people trying to get off this stuff.
And you don't have to have like full blown drug withdrawals. I mean, anybody that's tried to stop smoking cigarettes knows what it feels like to have that urge all the time, mm-hmm. And you just can't quit, and that's the way it is with pot too. Although you will go through withdrawals with some of this high potency stuff.
Absolutely, and so we hear so many people today using it for pain management. Well, I don't want to use traditional pharma. Hey, I agree. Who wants to get on an opioid that's destroying your liver if you could smoke marijuana?
Ideally, you're not on it for. You know, I realize that there are people who have pain issues that will outlast, in their treatment options. But for most people, the pain thing is there until they get the knee surgery or they, you know, do whatever they have to do. It doesn't, I don't know what the percentage is, but not everybody is going to have that forever.
I'll say this. I think that I don't care what it is, what drug it is. If you're in pain that is unmanageable, and most pain is manageable today by competent doctors. Okay, they can manage it without killing your system with some kind of heavy duty opioid. I mean, there's lots of alternatives that people can use, right? And but I would say this in. Absolutely, in end-of-life situations or really severe chronic pain, I don't care. You want to use cannabis, go ahead. My sister-in-law she was very young, 39 years old, had cancer, had a double mastectomy. She was declared cancer-free for about 6 years. It came back, and so my brother said, well, she's in the end of life here. They've given her a couple of weeks. Let's let her try cannabis. And so he used high potency THC on her, and he said that she left this world not even knowing who she was. He said she was so looped out, so high that she didn't know who she was. Now, is that the way to escort a human being out of life? Potentially, I'm not saying no to that. You know, if you're in incredible pain, and she was, I don't care what drug. I think there's probably better drugs. You know, I think morphine's probably better in those kinds of instances,
yeah,
than something that's not regulated. And who knows what she got in the end, because it came from a dispensary. It didn't come from any medical doctor or some pharmaceutically controlled laboratory. And that's the other thing, is everybody thinks that their marijuana, you know, my marijuana is organic. They promised me it's organic. It's, it complies with the health and safety code for organic in the state of California. We know, and I've said this before, and I'll keep repeating the drum. We know that 1,000 samples from NorCal dispensaries were taken by Anresco Labs, which that's all they do is test cannabis. They're very, and that 80% of those samples came back tainted with molds, pesticides, or other things that were harmful for the human body. Oh, I do have a success story for you. And I I'm going to talk to you briefly, and if we have time, I'll tell you about the little town that could. Do you want to hear that story?
Oh yeah, we should do that. We should do that in the next hour. We've got just a few minutes.
Okay, let's do that in the next hour.
Okay, so going up to the top of the hour, the big argument is, or I don't know if it's an argument, but the big pushback is always that it's the same as alcohol. And that, you know, people, we've legalized alcohol, people abuse it, some people don't, some people use it recreationally, it is addictive because some people become alcoholics. So why is this different?
So alcohol is highly and effectively regulated. And marijuana has been legal in the state of California since 1996, medicinally, and I don't like using the word medicinally, but they used the industry was able to get it by on medicinal use in 1996. And then again in 2016 recreationally. So marijuana went completely. But there's no testing standards. They're supposed to be under the DCC.
They say that.
Yeah.
But they, just from alcohol is a drug too. It alters. So from a use standpoint, Why don't those arguments, why don't they square with each other?
Well, they didn't used to when we had low potency marijuana, but once it became high potency marijuana,
it's a totally different drug.
It's a totally different drug.
Alcohol doesn't stay in your system that long either.
No,
alcohol's in your system briefly. It's water soluble molecule, which is why you can blood test for it, and it goes away pretty quick.
Yeah, but I'm not here.
You shouldn't drive with that either, though.
No, and I'm not here to condone alcohol. Alcohol is, and it's one of the things that I've always battled against in our community equally, you know, doing victim impact panel classes, testing for DUI and all that. And alcohol is a poison, and it's very destructive to the body. It wasn't until potency on cannabis became so high that the two began to mold over. And I think that they're equal. But separate.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, you know, now we know definitively, because we didn't know before, we know that alcohol, heavy alcohol use, you know, increases your incidence of cancer, your colon cancer, rectal cancer, all the, you know, bladder
cancer. Not to mention the liver thing.
Liver cirrhosis, okay. But now we have cannabis that we're determining, and it's too bad. Hello, Dr. Reese down there, down under. Get on the radio, sir. That we know definitively now that the studies are showing that there is genotoxicity and there is cancer that is directly related to cannabis. And in the case of Dr. Reese's studies, I know you can verbalize them better than me. Tell me, what are some of the things that Dr. Reese has said, Aaron, about cancer and genotoxicity?
Oh, well, in 50 seconds or less?
Yes, 50 seconds or less.
My favorite part was when I asked him, you know, if all the cancer was being caused by the chemicals, you know, well, what if you grew it in a lab? Mm-hmm. And that was when he shifted into his "you might be a moron" tone and said, if it comes from the cannabis plant, it causes cancer. And I was like, okay, I'll stop asking those questions. I know I'm
commercial cannabis. Does it come with a warning? I mean, this may cause cancer or this.
Well, it's kind of like putting a label on candy, right? Who reads the warning label? You went to go buy dope at a dope store.
They put a label on cigarettes. I mean, they put a warning label on it.
So the
all right, boys, we're out. So we're going to come back for another hour. You're probably going to have to hear from us again because Dr. Reese is doing something important in Australia on a Monday morning. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Just came here to drink. We're all mud flaps, suburbans, all ball caps and turbans, all prom queens and strippers. We're the whole kitchen sinking in here. We're the same. Everyone knows your name. We just raise the bar glass. We don't give it. If you're a Democrat or Republican, we're happy to be here tonight. You can see we're just all drunk Americans.
We
second hour of Bill, Aaron, and Officer Joe. We know we promised you Dr. Stuart Rees from Australia, but apparently Australia is busy today.
So, Aaron, I do want to do a shout-out because today your program, yours and Bill's program, is being broadcast to a national audience this morning.
I'm sorry.
Well, this morning I put it out to the National Prevention Network for Cannabis in the United States, and there was a number of people that responded back and said they were going to be listening in, too. So to all my friends and people who really care about your communities, our youth, stay in the fight. Work hard this year against Congress. Work hard against the marijuana money, which has flowed into our local races incredibly this year.
Yeah, and consider going to wethepeopleradio.us, and on that website is our contact information. Send us people that you would like us to interview, people who should get their voice out there. And I do promise we will have Dr. Rees when we find him down under. We'll get him up over. I guess if you're down under, you have to go up over.
The song I'm hearing is, and then I got high.
I love that guy. I listened to his whole repertoire.
We'll play, but see, a lot of it is unairable.
Yeah, I know.
So yes, we do have a nice clip from Afro Man we will play just for you because I know how much you like it. So let's see. We have a sponsor this hour.
Yeah, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. So if you got some ag issues, some turf issues, go see them up there. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake, and they can take care of all your tractor implements, all that stuff. Just give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, and they'd be happy to fix you up.
And you know what, Bill? I was looking at some of those green and yellow tractors this morning on YouTube, and some of the new compact tractors that John Deere is putting out, fabulous. I mean, they full cabs with air conditioning, radio, air suspension seats in a little compact tractor. I was amazed.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. I want one of those things.
And they're very quiet.
Yeah. And they're very quiet.
We've sold a couple of small compacts with cabs, full cabs. Oh, yeah. They've got the sound insulation. They've got AM, FM radios. They've got GPS. They have air conditioning.
It was that when we were all kids.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised when I looked at them that the view that you can see out of them, complete 360, up, down, you know, all the corners of the tractor. I was
very nice.
Really, you don't even get dirty.
Go out there in your church clothes and go mow the grass.
Yeah. That's why they make wives, Aaron. They get to wash them.
If you want to see those online, go to
Pape
Machinery. PapeMachinery.com.
Oh, sorry, Bill. PapeMachinery.com?
Yeah.
P-A-P-E Machinery.com?
That's correct. Yeah. And they can you can go on that website. You can get all kinds of videos, pictures of tractors. And you can even build your own with pricing. So
not with your own hands, though.
No,
online.
No, that's correct. Yeah, on your printer. Yeah, you can do that.
They won't let you in the shop.
And so for our national audience, they don't understand that Shasta County is a rural county in Northern California. What's our population now total in the county? About 220, maybe.
Yes.
Right around 220.
Over 200,000.
Maybe 100,000 in the city of Redding. Something like that. Maybe is that much?
That's why it doesn't stink to live here. It is really hot, though, and that keeps our population down.
Yeah. And it also,
we have legendary heat in the summer.
And we also have legendary water loss. And, of course, that's
we do have that. But it won't last forever. Never lasts forever. Well, unless the Bureau of Reclamation has something to say about it. But that's a whole different hate fest that we'll do later. Free commercial of the week goes to Mattress Firm because they are amazing. And I don't know what that means. Oh, 182,139 people in the county. I was like, what is that secret number, Liam, that you're showing me through the window?
182,000.
That's a population number.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, gosh, is that in my computer? Is that an IP address? What are you showing me?
That's our engineer. And does he have his you-know-what together?
Is he all over it?
He's all over it.
He's paying attention, unlike people that they let speak. Oh, my gosh. Okay, back to Mattress Firm with our friend Crystal, who is the senior store manager. We never met the junior store manager, so we're assuming that the senior store manager is much better. She was terrific. She got us a lovely bed for our guest bedroom. So our guests now get a king-size bed with an adjustable base, which means they get to raise and lower their head. They're going to think they've died and gone to heaven and probably never leave. So don't invite anybody over to sleep on your Mattress Firm bed that you don't like because they might stay. I think they're going to fight over it. I'm kind of excited. We'll report back. Phone number there is 530-222-3501, and they are on the corner of Churn Creek and Dana Drive in the old Blockbuster building, kind of near, I don't know, used to be Hometown Buffet. That's gone too. I guess if you haven't lived here very long, none of those things make sense. So just go to the corner of Churn Creek and Dana Drive. Get yourself a bed. Great deal. Got a king-size bed for the price of a queen, and the base was free.
I'll sleep on that.
You've been waiting a whole hour to do that.
I had to think of something quick there. So this last election for me was interesting because we saw a very palpable difference in the amount of money that flowed in from cannabis into our local elections this year. And while I'm going to tell your audience, I don't have some kind of moral authority, but I do think it's important for people to understand the corrupting influence of marijuana money in our community. And so
the volume of it is really surprising, actually.
And the candidates that you didn't think, and for all you constitutionalists out there and those of you that consider yourself patriots, take a look behind the scenes of your candidates, and you'll find that there is marijuana money invested into a lot of them. Now, why is that? The cannabis folks, it's a $32 billion industry this year with a B, and they see an opening here locally now to get legalization within the county and try to overturn the ordinances that we currently have. And so when you get a supervisor who's going to stand up and say, well, I don't like the illegal grows, let's go after them, but I'm a constitutionalist, so I think that we should allow cannabis advertising. That's a really just a proposal to bring more cannabis into the community.
Why would you need cannabis advertising? I mean, like, what are they thinking that – what's the purpose? I mean, I realize what the purpose of advertising is.
Well, it's like any other business. You have different entities selling it, so they're all in competition.
So give one a leg over the other. So we're talking like billboards and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Billboards, radio station, which we already have lots of radio ads in the city of Reading here and for the city dispensaries in Shasta Lake. But all the statistics show that everywhere in the United States that has cannabis advertising has higher general use, which makes sense, but it also has much higher youth use. And that's because of the amount of marijuana that's coming out of these dispensaries that's going into straw sale purchases. And again, it's the easiest drug in Shasta County to obtain.
How old do you have to be to buy it at a store? 18 or 21?
I thought it's 21. You know, you stumped me. Where's Kathy when I need her? Kathy's home with a cold today. Kathy, thank you so much.
Sorry, Kathy.
I think it's 21. I gotta look at that.
Kind of funny. I guess I've never really thought about it.
I've never carded me.
So we did come out with we did come out with the Dirty Dozen list, and we picked the dozen most egregious people taking money from the cannabis industry in Northern California, and one of them was Doug LaMalfa's person that ran against him, which was
Steiner.
Yes, Mr. Steiner, who describes himself as libertarian, and the libertarian philosophy, and we do have a local supervisor that claims he leans libertarian. Thank you. And we're learning now it's 18 with a med card, 21 without. Thank you. That is correct. That bing.
They still have the medical cards?
Yes, because they apparently get a discount, but it isn't. It's actually, I think it ends up being more expensive.
So if you're 18 and you have a medical,
I have friends who smoke weed, right? And I was like, how do they get theirs? Because I was trying to figure it out. You go to the doctor and you're like, oh my god, my back hurts so bad. is there anything that can help me with that? Can I get a med card? And they'll give you a med card.
So that's how you. Not tough, huh?
No, I don't think it's very hard. It might cost you like $20 maybe.
Oh, Dr. Finn does something in Colorado. He does it every time he renews.
Wow.
It takes him less than 30 seconds to get a marijuana med card. And he does it online there. You just do it online and,
Really?
Yeah.
I know for a while there when they made it legal medically, doctors were cashing in on that because they were charging like $150 for a card and people were lining up for them. And it was like like Liam said, it was like a 5-minute appointment. I want a card. Boom, here it is, $150. Thanks. Bye. And
We had a doctor flying up from San Francisco when it first started here, and she was doing 2 days a week. She'd fly up, and she was making $1 million a year.
Wow!
Just from, you know, but she was. How can you see 50 patients a day? You cannot, right?
No.
You can't.
Yeah, not in real life.
Not
in real life. No. So it was a scam, and you know.
I wonder how many she turned down.
Nobody wants medical anymore. If you notice. Right? Now it's recreational.
Yeah. I bet that's very rare to have somebody walk in with a medical card.
Well, I don't know.
Why would you do it? Why would you spend the money on it?
If there's a discount and you can get it 3 years earlier, again, marketing to the youth.
Well, eventually you'll see that at some point you'll see insurance companies, you know, knuckle under and start saying, okay, yeah, we'll pay for your medical marijuana.
Yeah, that's interesting. They don't pay for it now?
No. It's not an FDA-approved drug. It's still Schedule I. It's still federally illegal. And the banks are sitting around salivating, including the biggest banks, you know, Bank of America, whoever. They're sitting around salivating, waiting for that marijuana money. They want it because it's a huge amount of money that they can tap into. This week, marijuanabiz.com is holding its industry convention in Las Vegas, and it rivals or surpasses any convention you've ever seen with all the glitzy lights and the girls and the.
What is HiCon?
Hi-con.
Dope-con? Pot-con?
It's called marijuanabiz.com, and you can go
They should have called me to name it, because that's not a very fun name.
And they've got glistening machines made now in West Germany, or the highest quality, you know, kind of machines to process marijuana.
It's for the serious...
Oh, yeah. No, it's not the, you know...
This isn't the users.
This isn't the 420.
Oh, I'm thinking like Comic-Con. Okay, so it's not like that. It's not the users.
But that's interesting you bring that up. You know, now we have the we do have the tribe that's gone all in for marijuana and bought the dispensary here. And I think that we will see one day a marijuana bar in the casino. Because because remember they're not subject to federal law.
You can smoke in there if you want. I mean, there's
So, and if you get people high, it's just like playing with alcohol.
Well,
you're
sure,
playing
sure.
with alcohol, you gamble more. You get them high, they're going to gamble more. So I see that coming down the road. And the casino, they gave a lot of money out to a lot of politicians on both sides of the aisle this time. And it's going to be very interesting in the next go around who's going to take money from them, more money from the dispensaries. So I do have a good story. I mean, you know, it's a feel good story on the marijuana front. And Aaron, you're readily familiar with this, and I call it the little town that could. And I'm going to talk to you about Susanville, California. And for those people that don't know where Susanville is, it's in the northeastern part of California, and it's off of Highway 395. Mm-hmm. And how long does it take to get there from here?
A couple hours.
Yeah, two and a half hours. It's a nice drive.
That's actually a very nice drive. When you come up off I-5, go up 44 or
It is
whatever.
Beautiful, up through the trees.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's up in the high plains.
My highlight was when we went up there, we were feeding those chipmunks? Oh, it was awesome. All those chipmunks running around us. And
just for the record, chipmunks really like pretzel balls.
They do. They'll have your pretzel balls.
If you've got a bag of pretzel balls in your glove box, small chipmunks will eat them.
So for your audience, a number of residents up there reached out to us and to Aaron and said, help. There are three pro-cannabis city council members who want to bring commercialization to Susanville and are saying that this is going to be the leading pot tourism location in the United States. And so we were asked to go up there and do some support. And I've got to tell you that that's online. There's YouTube videos of it, of the public getting up and speaking. We went up. We met with community groups. We met with concerned citizens. We met with media people. We met with school administrators. And
now these were mostly folks that were against the commercialization.
Yes, other than the three city council members, three of the five that really had done some what I would say is dirty, underhanded politicking during COVID and had passed some marijuana legislation because there was three of five there and there was emergency procedures. So what they did is they passed to have basically unlimited commercial grows in the city.
Yeah, they didn't even learn from any of the neighboring counties that are like overwhelmed that maybe they should.
Well, it's
it was kind of like open season.
It's funny you mention that, because if you remember from reading their report, their glowing report about how good cannabis was going to be for their community, how much money they were going to make off it, what cities did they use? They used the city of Redding and the city of Shasta Lake as their models. And when I spoke to their police chief publicly the day that we went, how come you didn't speak to anybody in prevention or anybody on the other side? Why did you just speak to the
– Well, and for the city of Redding, we were unable to come up with – how much money they're actually getting from that. There were no numbers available, so it's this big cash cow, but no one knows how much cash the cow really brings.
Well, we know how much that the mayor, Mr. Mazzone, made. He's netted almost $40,000 in cannabis funds that have gone directly into his campaign.
Yeah, so, we have to take a really quick break. So I found us a song, you know, Cannabis Bar. I'm thinking, you know, in the cannabis bar, things always look different. So you should just be really careful. I don't think it's probably a great idea. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio.us. Goes on. The bad part is the rest of the song is kind of inappropriate, and we can't play it for you. We played for you the part we could play. It's probably not good to, glorify it with song, but I don't know. I guess if you can't laugh at some of this stuff, you just come all angry and go sideways.
Yeah.
It's enough of those people. They're all driving around with their headlights off.
Yep.
Back to the beginning. We've closed the loop. So
the little town that could.
Yeah, yeah. Back to Susanville. So, you know, it's important for people to know, too, that they had a group of people, a small group of people, who were showing up at the Board of Supervisors meetings, who were against having the commercial growing. They were against having the dispensaries in Susanville. And they were really heavily marginalized by their fellow citizens and the guy that runs the dope store up there. They came after them hard. You know, they were all a bunch of religious zealots and blah, 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 blah. I mean, they were, you know, I guess I don't really care if I get maligned on Facebook, so I don't look at Facebook. So they're probably maligning me right now and I don't even know. But they did care. They really felt pretty persecuted, but they weren't willing to back up. They just needed some help. Like, they needed some support.
So, to me, they demonstrated the actual epitome of what a patriot is. Appropriately, they asked for redress against their government. And so, how did they do it, Aaron? So, first of all, they asked for help. So, a number of us went over, and we took state-of-the-art information to them so that they would have that to distribute. We provided, basically, backup to them. They needed a little bit of a push. That's all they needed. They went out and they engaged in a sign campaign. They did. They stood on the sidewalks and did appropriate and legal demonstrations. Mm-hmm. They had information available for people when people came to speak to them. They engaged media, and including a fabulous ad that was really – it's probably the best ad. That ad that Doug LaMalfa did about marijuana has gone national. Everybody that listens to it from the prevention community said, this is a model for my state senator or my state congressman right here.
It was really hard-hitting.
It was.
On the commercialization of marijuana. Didn't talk about the two measures on the ballot because that was no legal thing to do, but just as far as commercializing it and how that's going to affect your community, I thought it was great that he did it.
And
that really gave him somebody to stand up with, too.
Yes, it did. And that was important to this northeastern, small, still generally very conservative community up mm-hmm. there, generally. They did a media campaign. So they went out and bought ads on the radio during the last month of the campaign. And I think they spent probably $2,500 or so. I think it's important for the audience to understand that now cannabis is outspending prevention in the United States 700 to 1.
Wow.
Whoa.
Really?
Yes. Yes. So for every dollar we spend, they're spending 700. Is it any wonder that we have supervisors to elect that get up and say, oh, yeah, we should allow more advertising. I would have voted against this, the Board of Supervisors in Shasta County. Yep, I would have voted to have more advertising because, you know, it's people's constitutional right. Just absolutely zero consciousness as to the damage it does to our community. All right, back to Susanville. So we along with you, Aaron, and you spoke very eloquently, and for people that want to see that, there are YouTube videos of it. On how to take an issue and take it to a community, did get up and speak in front of the city council, including the three members who are completely pro-cannabis. And what's really revealing about this particular instance in this city, when given the opportunity to vote themselves out from making any money on cannabis, the city council refused to put that into their ordinance. And I think that's very telling. So when you have a politician that says, yeah, I'm going to make this legal and yeah, I can benefit from it. So that to me told me that there was absolutely, it was corrupt going forward with it.
Yeah. And they, it was interesting because they knew that they were right. I mean, they had really strong conviction, but they'd been going, like the first time I went over there in April, I had no idea it was even a thing. I just thought their board of supervisors should know what's going on in other counties because, you know, the guys in Siskiyou County, as they get better at their enforcement, they're moving. They're moving to other counties. So I thought, just fair warning, maybe I ought to go over and tell them. And then I met up with a lot of those folks that are like, oh, we've been trying to get these guys to listen, and we just can't get anywhere. And I thought, isn't that interesting? It's kind of the same thing everywhere. There's like a little core group of people, but – they feel sort of beaten down.
Well, they're so outgunned. I mean, when you have that kind of money coming into a small community and they're spreading it around, and that's what happens. They get marginalized.
Well, and then
– although, how'd the election turn out?
Yeah. Well, there's – you know, the other thing, too, there's kind of a lot of information. And so if you're not involved in that industry, when people come at you with – The one that disarms people a lot is, well, alcohol's legal and that's a drug and look at all the harm that causes and this isn't any different. And then people are like,
so let's legalize something that's going to cause as much harm.
Well, right, but they wind up kind of defanged a little bit because they don't have the information. And so it's a matter of getting smart about that. We have that ad that played. Liam queued it up.
Which ad?
The ad that the congressman did.
Can we hear it? I love it. I love hearing that thing. It's my battle cry.
Okay.
Crime has been increasing, especially from foreign marijuana cartels that are invading Northern California. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa, asking you to join me in fighting back. These criminal organizations have been flooding Northern California, terrorizing our neighbors, polluting our waterways, and threatening anyone who gets in their way. Nothing about this marijuana is legal. The chemicals used to grow, human trafficking, or the violent cartel operations they are funding. They are even in direct violation of county permits on growing and water use. I've written legislation to go after the use of the illegal pesticides and fertilizers that growers are using and put them in federal prison for long sentences. I've personally bulldozed their illegal grows. Let's not invite more crime into our towns and neighborhoods. We've seen the destruction in neighboring counties already. Marijuana is still federally illegal and becoming even more potent, harming our kids when they get a hold of it.
Make your voice heard this November and stand up to these criminals that are victimizing Northern California. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Join me and fight back. Paid for and authorized by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Way to go, Doug. Holy moly.
It's like, okay, how can we help them? It's like, let's find allies, right? So not everybody, you know, people are really quick to say, well, everyone in politics is just self-dealing or whatever. That was not self-dealing. There was no self-dealing about it, but that was helping the community. And you think, elect those people. Go find more of those people.
So they defeated measures R and S
by a lot,
66%, which
I think 66 was the county percent. Okay. They beat that one, and 61 was the inside the city.
Okay, uh-huh. And that kind of mirrors what when we did this in Shasta County, we were pretty close. That was like 64%, something like that, voting against having cannabis be legal in the county areas. So I really think that people like you and I, because I know we get vilified in the community as being, you know, extremists, and I get called out, you know, oh, it's just a little bit of marijuana. But there was a story, an LA Times expose that was done by Paige St. John, and it was about broken promises, how Prop 64 spawned crime and the exploitation and public corruption in California. And that's something that this past 2 years that we've started to talk about, which is public corruption, especially the money now that's flowing into our local races. And it was an LA Times investigation that found corruption and other questionable conduct covering a vast area of activities. And there was public officials demanding cash from cannabis business owners to approve licenses. So that's been going on in Southern California. Government officials being threatened with physical violence over pot regulations. And I know that personally because I get threatened by the pot folks all the time. And then elected officials accepting money from cannabis businesses even as they regulated them. And that is something that we've seen in the city of Redding. When the planning commission in the city of Redding said no to putting a honey oil manufacturing facility right next to the Good News Rescue Mission, they were overruled by the city council. And those officials ended up being corrupted, and you are corrupted if you take money and then all of a sudden, if A happens, B happens. To me, that is the epitome of corruption. There's been a torrent of campaign cash to local government officials, and cannabis people in this town know that. And so they are working very hard behind the scenes to corrupt these candidates with their money, and they have taken a lot of money.
You know, we drove by that facility yesterday, and I just want to say what a beautiful facility that was.
Just the one down on 273?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's like a weird kind of a fort.
It looked like a prison. It had high fencing with wrought iron fencing with spikes on it surrounding the facility. It was all painted dark black and gray, all darkened out windows. I mean, how'd you like to have that in your neighborhood? I mean, it was unbelievable.
In defense of the business, and I'm not defending that business whatsoever, but they had to comply with the security regulations for the Department of Cannabis, and they're pretty onerous. You gotta have a lot of security.
Well, yeah, and that should tell you something right there. When you got to have that kind of security to run a business, something's not right.
And that's important. That's a very important point, because the cannabis folks always like to point out that, well, look, there's no crime at our business. But as soon as you step away from that business, the crime property values go in the toilet,
mm-hmm,
for a couple of miles out, and so does crime go up.
Right.
And I have personally witnessed a cannabis location that sells a dispensary in the northern part of Redding here. I have sat there at the freeway off ramp and watch people that I know are stoned get off, go through the stop signs, drive into that business, and you know that you can see them when they come out, they're high. You just know that they are. So that's what is drawn to our local businesses, mm-hmm, here. And unlike a bar, here's a distinguishment for alcohol. You know, we have ABC, which is alcohol beverage control on a bar. Very strict controls. Pull a bar's license just like that. The Department of Cannabis Control is supposed to do all of those kind of licenses, inspections, and they're supposed to be very strict. But Newsom has pretty much gutted that. So
they've been defanged.
Yeah, you know.
I think they started defanged, though. Honestly, I'm not – were they ever
– No. They
like
never
really
were.
Solid
no,
regulators?
No. As a matter of fact, there's two enforcement teams that are assigned to Northern California. It's like 12 people that are supposed to do marijuana enforcement. And they were put in stand-down mode a couple of years ago, so they haven't done anything. And the head of the Department of Cannabis Control took so much heat that she started to say, well, we've had lots of successes. We've done 285 operations, which is nothing, folks. That's nothing. And it ended up that 99% of those operations were operations that were done by local government, and they took credit for it.
Nice.
Very important for your community to know that the state is now going to require every county in California to have marijuana dispensaries. So all of you patriots out there that always jump up and scream and yell that you're patriots, here we go. We've got state overreach now coming into our community, telling us a business that we are now required under their law to open, even though we have county ordinances against it.
Why do they feel we have to have those?
So Newsom said, so statistics are there's about 1,300, roughly 1,350 legal, quote unquote, legal dispensaries in California. And they list about 4,500 illegal dispensaries. But Newsom envisions 7,000 illegal dispensaries in the state of California. So you're going to have, they'll put one in Lakehead, Bella Vista, Round Mountain, all these outlying communities. And what will that do for our communities? Has marijuana, answer me this question, anybody, has marijuana ever improved the quality of a community anywhere in the United States?
Right.
No, not one.
No.
Like the city of Reading would say, well, we get all this tax money. You know,
at what cost? I mean, when you drive down, let's face it, the back highway there on 273 has never been, it was never going to be Rodeo Drive. So it's always had, a variety of businesses, but a lot of industrial and that sort of thing. We were driving down there yesterday and it's like a ghost town. I mean, as these things kind of come in, it's very interesting. It's furthering a lot of the bad things that we want to get rid of in our community. It's actually making those more prevalent. Got to take a quick break here. We're going to go, we're going to take a little trip with our friend Jim Stafford back to the Wildwood Weed.
Oh, I love that guy.
From a time long, long gone by. So for all the old people out there, this was a fun song and probably didn't even know what he was talking about. Now you do. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Wildwood flower grew wild on the farm, and we never knowed what it was called. Some said it's a flower, and some said it's a weed. I didn't give it much thought. One day I was out there talking to my brother, and I reached down for a weed to chew on. Things got fuzzy and things got blurry, and then everything was gone. Didn't know what happened, but I knew it beat the hell out of Smith and Burley. Smoking them wildwood flowers got to be a habit. We never seen no harm. Oh, we thought it was kind of handy. Take a trip and never leave the farm. Big old puff that wildwood weed. Next thing you know, you're just wandering around behind the little animals. All good things got to come to an end. It's the same with the wildwood weeds. One day this fella from Washington come by and spied it and turned white as a sheet. And he dug and he burned and he burned and he dug and he killed all our cute little weeds. And then he drove away. We just smiled and waved, sitting there on that sack of seeds.
Sitting there on that sack of seeds. So... What have we not discussed?
We have not discussed why do people feel the need to use an intoxifying substance and and literally zone out on life. What is the meaning of life? Here we go. We can get really esoteric here.
Let's do it.
Why do people feel the need that they want to escape so badly from reality? And now with the high potency THC, so if, for example, you use that inhaler that I show you. So what happens is you take and you inhale this solution of pure THC, nearly pure. I mean,
which is like created by chemicals. It doesn't even come from a plant. Let's not delude ourselves.
That's the wrong word. Right. Let's use strength. This optimum strength to get you high, and it's mixed with alcohol to suspend it because it's an oil. It has to be suspended in solution, and then it has some kind of propellant to make it go into your body. Okay, so that happens, and this is what's described, and I can only tell you from interviewing people and reading the literature what kind of high you get. But with that kind of THC, you get a very intense high that occurs almost immediately, especially there because it's going in.
I'm asthmatic, so I use an inhaler. Yes. And if it doesn't work right away, it's not actually an inhaler. So that's supposed to go into your system, saturate your lungs,
yes,
your bronchioles actually, and then work instantly. So as a delivery system, that's terrifying.
Oh, it's instant. This is what I'm told. Anywhere from 3 to 20 minutes, auditory and visual hallucinations, see colors, movement, things that really aren't there. After up to like 30 minutes of this very intense high, some people equate it to a cocaine high, initially. It's that's wrong. And then after 30 minutes, and there'll be users out there that are going to dispute me, and great, come on the radio and tell me if you're a user, you know, come tell us. We'd be happy to
interview
you.
They can't dial the number, so we won't even
give
it to
them. Okay, thank you, Aaron. I'd be happy to interview you, just so you know, if you want to ever call, and we'd be happy to talk to a really heavy-duty user if you can stay focused with us for the hour conversation.
30 time, yeah.
Yeah. So then after the 30 minutes, up to for a period of up to 3 hours, you can have like this just very gentle feeling of I guess it's well-being, of being stoned.
Do you know who's around, or you still see the weird colors?
No, I think the auditory and visual stuff goes away, and you have, and then after 3 hours, it becomes less and less and less. You're not stoned anymore. Now it does matter what you're using. If you're using edibles, edibles come on more slowly, but they also last longer. And there's some studies now showing that the actual hallucinogenic effects of it, 24 hours.
Wow.
So that's a long time, you know, where you're feeling pretty out
of it. Yeah, so your ability to maintain a life, raise your kids, drive a car, keep a job, pay your bills, if you're a regular user of this stuff, is, we'll call it, diminished. I mean, it's zero. What the heck?
What employer wants to hire somebody?
Yeah, no one.
You know, if you have an alcoholic employee, it's pretty you send them out to rehab and you tell them, you go to rehab, you're going to get fixed, you come back. But if you have –
But it's on every corner.
Yeah.
I guess my thing – okay, so you had said, you know, what person wants to use this? I would turn the – that's kind of like looking in the big end of the telescope down the – you know, and focusing on the small end. I would flip it around and look through the little end at the big aperture. So what kind of citizen thinks that this is good for society? Because I think there are more of them.
Well, I don't understand how the societal level. I think they're looking at it at a purely personal level.
No, but see, have a ton of people that are voting for this stuff, supporting
this
stuff.
Well, yeah, they don't
want
to lose the ability to have an out. You know, these people obviously are lacking something in their life that's not giving them satisfaction. And
sure, why do people do drugs at all? Why are they alcoholics? But the bulk of the people that I think support this are people who kind of unwittingly support this.
That's right.
I don't think that the bulk of the support is coming from people who use the product. I think it's coming from people who think it doesn't affect them.
Right.
And that I would put that in the high. That would be my top tier. They don't think it affects them. Next, they think it's everyone's personal business, A, because it doesn't affect them, right? And then B, because they're not using it. It's not up to them. So why would I want to tell other people what to do? And then just a willful ignorance as far as how that would affect society.
You know, Aaron, you and I have been in the grows, right? Many times.
Yep, and they're nasty. People would not even believe how people live in those grows.
Yep.
Those are not houses that you see. I would encourage people to go go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the pot tab at the top of the page. It's right next to the archives. Click on that pot tab. There's a slideshow on there that and I made it pretty clear that what you're looking at in those first few shots as the volume increases from 2018 to 2020 and 2021, all the little dots on there, all the little white dots, none of those are houses. They are all greenhouses. People who work and live in that disaster area, though, they are living in like little tiny plywood shotgun shacks. They're and pooping in buckets. There's no septic. There's no running water. There is no. I mean, it is just a gnarly environment, and all ages too. You get old. You have older people working there. You got younger people working there,
and killing every animal, and killing each other.
Yeah,
How many murders do we think?
51.
Yeah, 51.
Just in that one county.
Yep, 51 in up in Siskiyou.
So they kill each other. They kill other people. It's a drug cartel, for God's sake. I mean, most people wouldn't just go take a family vacation to Juarez. You'd be like, wait a minute, what Juarez? That's kind of dangerous. Well, why would you bring that here?
Highway 299, Sugar Pine, Mexican National, hands cut off, wired behind his back, message from the cartel. Don't steal from the cartel.
I have a neighbor who said that they ride their bike all the time up on Wildcat Road. They ride their bikes all the time out that area. And I was like, you know, you might want to pay close attention while you're out there. I talked about like things that they might see. Like, here are people just living their lives. You don't realize how much of this is going to impact. It's not just impacting society with people who can't drive with their lights on, you know, and all that, and kids missing school. So maybe you don't have any kids anymore. I'm always kind of talking to those people. You don't have any kids anymore. You don't smoke pot. Maybe you did a really long time ago, and you're thinking it's not that big a deal. I did it. I didn't die. And it doesn't affect me. I'm not running a business anymore. Maybe I'm retired. So I'm retired. I'm not running a business anymore. I don't need to hire anybody. I don't even drive that much. So the bad drivers aren't even going to get me. This is coming for you anyway.
Yeah. Have you ever had your house broken into? Ever had your car stolen?
Well, look at all these people laying all over. Gosh, the bus stop at Cypress and – no, no.
Cypress and Churn Creek.
Oh. The bus stop. It's like a homeless camp inside the bus stop.
And you know what? Speaking about homeless, I was very interested in the homeless problem here and how drugs were involved in that. So I went and spent a week down at the homeless with the homeless there at the old veterans building on Bocelli. And
the clinic.
Yeah, yeah. Where the clinic was.
Behind, right next to the federal courthouse.
Yeah, right next to the federal courthouse. And there was drug use going on while I was there. And I went down with media identification, and I did videos. And I do have videos of some of those people. And I actually came away feeling sorry for some of the people there.
Of course.
They wanted to be out there. They've been abused. They've had abusive lives. And drugs are become a part of that, and that's a part of our community. And I asked every one of them, I said, have you ever seen anybody from the city, from the city council? Not one of them. And I named all the city council people. Not one of these people that I ever talked to could name one city council person. They did say generally that some of the city services reached out. Some of the police were very nice to them. And they said also some of the police they felt were pretty harsh and with them, you know, and I understand that you get marching orders, go down and clean up a homeless camp, you've got to do it. Okay, I have a dire prediction, and I want your listeners to listen to my prediction, and hopefully it will not come true. But here's my prediction. Based upon the current election and the people that are now going to be Board of Supervisors.
So we're just talking about Shasta County because we have people who listen all sorts of other places.
Yep, we're just talking about Shasta County. So here's my dire prediction that Mark Mazzano will take out Patrick Jones. He's looking to come to the county. So he will bring his pro-cannabis stance to the county, and he has the money and the backing to be able to take out Jones in the next election. Jones isn't going to be around very long. You'll have, you've got two other supervisors in there. One is going to be, one or two of them are going to be brand new. One of the two supervisors will have overtly taken marijuana money, and the other supervisor has said that there's going to be marijuana advertising in, he would vote for marijuana advertising. So whether he says he's a constitutionalist or a conservative, I don't see any of that. I think that's all bogus. I think that we're going to see, you'll see a potentially a three to five vote for commercial cannabis in Shasta County, and that there's not going to be a lot that we're going to do. So all the work that we've done over the past couple of years, Kathy, myself, and other people, yourself,
trying to educate,
yeah. which is what we're really there for. You know, I don't go there to speak to the Board of Supervisors. I go to speak there to speak to the public. Try to help them and educate them as to what's going on. I think we have changed a lot of people's perspectives, but I do see that the amount of cannabis money that's going to flow into the campaigns in the future, now that they've got a foothold, it's just going to be astronomical. And instead of the $4,900 donations, you'll see multiple thousands of dollar donations that'll be filtered in a number of different ways. And for example, Mr. Cry, who I've spoken to and took marijuana donations. When you go and look who donated to him, you don't even know it's a marijuana company. You know, it's something like Busy Bee Organics or something like that. They give themselves these names, so you can't.
And they're usually buried under a bunch of different LLCs.
And they're buried under different LLCs. Now, in the case of Kevin, he told me he took marijuana money because he said I'm broke at this point in my candidacy. He said, but if you give me $10,000, I'll give the marijuana money back. Now, I've got to ask everybody, is that the epitome of like corruption? I don't know. Is it? It seems pretty corrupt to me when you say, if you give me money, I'll give this other money back. And then I wonder, what access is that going to provide?
Exactly.
Well, it's all about access.
A lot of times it's, I needed money for my campaign.
Yes.
So
yes.
I had to do it. And it's like, I don't know. It was kind of like it's kind of like Susanville. You know, we've got to sell. We've got to get some dope stores so we can get some tax money so we can help the kids. It's
right.
Like we're going to sell drugs to support children.
Yeah,
like that seems a little screwed up. Like even the people in the audience were like scratching their heads. Wait a second. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I they've got to know that these contributions are going to come with a price tag.
They do.
Nope.
They come with access.
But I don't think anybody actually admits that. No, nobody admits that, and nobody wants to think that that's a thing. Nobody wants to think that's a thing.
Yeah.
And as voters, we're going to have to be a lot smarter about that, a whole lot smarter. So we have burned through 2 hours. Dr. Reese was in Australia, Australianing, and ditched us, but we'll
shark attack.
We will make him pay.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
All right, thanks for joining us. You can find us always at wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, now he's saying talk more. He was saying talk less a second ago.
Then be a true patriot and fight against drug use in your community. And marijuana is not okay. It is a gateway drug, and it is damaging our youth. Stand up. Don't be a conservative now and say, it's okay, because that's what we're here
for. Oh, now stop talking.
Okay.
Now it's done.
Thank you. We got bills to pay. We got minds to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.